It's the next gear on podtech.net. I'm Matt Kelly. On today's show, we'll learn about the Freedom Car Program, an initiative that's part of the U.S. Department of Energy's goal to develop emissions-free and petroleum-free cars and light trucks, and to build the infrastructure to support them. Here to help educate us on the Freedom Car Initiative is Ed Wall, Program Manager for the program. Ed, it's a pleasure having you on the program today.
It's great to be able to join you today, Matt.
First off, tell us a little bit more about Freedom Car. Talk about its mission, its vision, and its goals.
As you accurately described, the ultimate vision behind Freedom Car is a vehicle that consumes no petroleum and emits no criteria pollutants. Certainly, an electric vehicle would fit that description. A fuel cell vehicle running on hydrogen would be another opportunity. So we're trying not to specify the exact endpoint, but certainly we're examining a number of component technologies that could contribute to a variety of solutions.
And what are the origins of this initiative? How did it come to be?
It basically grew out of or evolved from the Partnership for New Generation of Vehicles program that was begun back in 1993. By the year 2000, 2001, 8 years into that program, there was a National Academy of Sciences review that suggested a number of enhancements should be made to the program. That was also about the time the administration changed, and so the National Academy report was sort of a blueprint for enhancing the way we looked at advanced vehicle technologies. Among the things the National Academy recommended were broadening the focus, not just having a single vehicle focus, but looking at components that could be used across the range of vehicles. This is in recognition of the fact that vehicle choices is important in this country, and that market trends resulted in shifts in what was the most popular vehicle.
And how is the Freedom Car Initiative funded?
It's funded in appropriations to the Department of Energy. That's the government portion. We have as partners the U.S. Council for Automotive Research, whose member companies are Ford, GM, and Daimler Chrysler. But the majority of the funding goes to fund cost-shared research and development with the supplier community, companies like Visteon, Delphi, TRW, that make components that then go into automobiles.
Your program covers several areas. It's quite vast, covering such topics as vehicle systems, innovative concepts, hybrid and electric propulsion, fuels technology, and the like. Give us a brief rundown of these areas of study, and then, you know, we'll kind of focus on maybe some specific areas here.
Okay, well, certainly we look at advanced combustion and fuels, and that that work is aimed at taking the combustion engine as we know it today and see if we can wring more efficiency out of it. The theoretical work at the National Laboratory suggests that there's still quite a bit of these engines can be quite a bit more efficient than they are today, and that the fuels component will play a role in that. If we get the right fuel formulation, it may actually aid in getting to a more efficient engine. So we're looking at that area. We're looking, as you mentioned, at the hybrid technologies. Advanced batteries are the principal thrust there. We're looking at batteries that could be used in hybrids, in plug-in hybrids and fuel cell vehicles that would be much less expensive than today's choices and also have a longer lifetime. We think the battery, the energy storage battery in a hybrid vehicle would have to ultimately last the life of the car. Approximately 15 years is the expected life of a car sold today in the United States.
And within the terms of the hybrid and electric propulsion studies and the fuels technology studies, do you have any news to report in terms of some of the successes or some of the realizations that you're coming to within your areas of study in those fields?
I think we're seeing advances in all fronts. We'll see the commercialization of some of our engine work, some of the advanced combustion work in engines to be produced by Cummins for Daimler Chrysler for the 2009 model year. These will be advanced diesel engines that meet the EPA emission standards for 2010, and will be 30% more efficient than the gasoline engines they would replace. That's one example. There are a couple of other areas I didn't get a chance to mention. One of them is advanced materials. We're looking at materials such as carbon fiber that could be used to dramatically lightweight the vehicle, so it would take less energy to move it around, while providing the same level or a greater level of safety than you have in today's vehicles. So that's an additional focus of our efforts. And in the hydrogen area, we're looking at the production, the transport, the storage of hydrogen, and then the use of hydrogen in a fuel cell vehicle.
How important do you think it is to have government involvement in this study of this technology through an organization such as yourself?
Well, I think it's very important. One of the differences we see between ourselves and our industry partners, the industry partners typically they're focused on the next shareholders meeting and being able to report profits for the next year, whereas the government focus tends to be much more. We can take a longer view of the world where we see things being in 10 years, for example. That's one of the reasons, and the other is that typically the research we work on jointly with the suppliers is work that, given the need to generate near-term profits, the risk might be too high for any one company to engage in. But if the government can partially offset some of the research costs through a cost-shared agreement, then it becomes more attractive, and essentially we're helping buy down the risk.
How much do you think politics impacts your work?
Well, one of the things I think that this effort has enjoyed is bipartisan support over the last dozen years. So I think in that sense it's been something that's been embraced by Democrats and by Republicans through now the Clinton administration and the Bush administration. So I think there is a realization that the challenge for this country of transportation is too great just to leave to chance.
And what are the challenges that you are seeing within your field of study in trying to develop this technology and the infrastructure to support it?
In some cases, we're looking at an entirely new paradigms for how things are done in the area of advanced materials, for example. Looking at carbon fiber, there are two challenges there. One is the cost of carbon fiber that's commercially available today is in the area of $15 a pound, and that's driven by the aeronautic industry. The cost of the raw material has to be much lower to be usable in for automotive applications. And the other point is, unlike aeronautic or more exotic cars, like race cars that already use carbon fiber, we have to come up with processes to mold it into parts in automotive quantities, thousands per day instead of just a couple of bodies a week that you'd see in a high performance application. And there's one more issue we have to deal with, and that's recycling of advanced materials. Currently, the cars that you and I drive, when they reach the end of life, they may go to a scrapyard. They'll pull out the powertrain and send the rest of the vehicle through a shredder and separate it magnetically. You've got pretty much you'd have aluminum and zinc castings, and you'd have steel, and then you'd have about 25% that'd go to the landfill in the form of chaff. That's the interior and the wiring harness and the seats, that sort of thing. The car of the future will have more. We'll have a different variety of materials: carbon fiber, magnesium, titanium, that aren't necessarily amenable to be separated magnetically. And the other thing is, I'm not sure we have enough landfills to continue to landfill 25% of each vehicle that is scrapped. So we have a vigorous effort in that area to develop new processes for recycling, so that we can recycle more of the car and recycle these new materials.
What are you seeing in the private sector that excites you?
I think the growing interest and emphasis on electric powertrain platforms. I think I see the car of the future as having a greater emphasis on electric drive and perhaps a common architecture that you could combine with an advanced combustion engine or a fuel cell. That you could use in a plug-in capability to give you more all-electric range, to transfer some of the fuel, some of the petroleum consumption to electricity consumption. So that to me is very exciting. We're seeing hints of it from all the major automakers now. So I think the world is moving in that direction. One of the great opportunities there is improved efficiency, but the issues are getting the size, weight, and cost of these systems reduced.
Do you have maybe in a crystal ball, or in your mind anyways, timelines as to when you think this car of the future may actually be here, or where we may take a giant leap forward in the development of this infrastructure? I mean, are we talking 30, 50 years? Will it be in my lifetime, your lifetime?
I would certainly hope it will be within our lifetime. One of the things to understand about the industry, the way it works right now, if a new technology were to enter tomorrow, and it's one that people embrace, it would be between 12 and 15 years before it achieved full market penetration. That's based on historic records of things like ABS braking, for example, or a multi-valve per cylinder, or front-wheel drive. All those took about between 12 and 15 years to reach full penetration. Once you have full penetration, it takes almost another 15 years to turn over the fleet so that it becomes the dominant technology. So it takes a while for these to be absorbed into the market. Unless there are incentives. We have some incentives in place right now for the purchase of hybrid and other high-efficiency vehicles. These are tax incentives that were part of the Energy Policy Act of 2005, and that's the sort of thing that can accelerate this. So I would expect to see, we already see hybrids now. They've been in the market essentially 6 years. Took 6 years to achieve 1.5% penetration. And this is not unusual for new technologies. I would expect, if we're successful in the battery research, that we could have large numbers of plug-in hybrids. By large numbers, I mean 100,000 or more a year sold, maybe in the 2017 timeframe. The fuel cell vehicle, if we're successful in the hydrogen storage work and in the fuel cell research, we're probably talking about more like in the early 2020s.
And do you see a role of the consumer in trying to spur the implementation of this? What's their responsibility in all this?
Well, certainly, I think you can speak to shared responsibilities. I think the government has stepped up to it, recognizing that in the hybrid example, the cost incentives the tax incentives that I mentioned just a minute ago, that's a recognition that some of these technologies may be more expensive initially. Government's offering incentives to help ease their entry into the market and build up enough volume that economies of scale will help bring the price down further. So the willingness of the consumer to embrace maybe something that may be a little more expensive at the start, but will pay off benefits in terms of fuel savings, in terms of emission reduction, is certainly part of that equation as well.
And your final thoughts on the Freedom Car program and the promise that it represents for an energy-independent America, a cleaner environment, and for the consumer?
It's certainly our hope that it will result in all of those things. It's been exciting to be a part of it. I think all of us who work in government, if we've been here a while, feel we're doing it because we want to be able to make a difference. And I think this is something potentially that could make a difference, not just for our generation, but for future generations. Because it could fundamentally change the way we fuel vehicles.
Ed Wall, Program Manager for the Freedom Car Program, an initiative that's part of the U.S. Department of Energy. Thank you for your time today. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
It's been great to talk with you, Matt.
For the next gear, I'm Matt Kelly on podtech.net.